Can we come then to the point where eventually you are then discharged from the Army?
Well, now, I told you that I'd gone into the service December 23rd, 1942. We'd been brought back from Germany to prepare and train for the invasion of Japan, which everybody thought was going to happen. While we were there, Shirley and I got married, and while we were on our honeymoon, the bomb was dropped, and that ultimately was the end of the war. I think the war ended September 2nd. Then I was discharged from the American Army on, believe it or not, December 24th, 1945. So I was in 3 years and one day.
How did you meet Shirley?
Well, as I say, I had grown up in the oil fields and moved from here to there and so on. My father was unemployed for one semester and didn't know what to do, and he sent me to live with his uncle in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I, for one semester, went to Horace Mann Junior High School.
Hmm.
And that's where I met Betty Hawthorne. Did you know Betty?
No.
Betty is Elaine's mother.
Yes, I did know her.
Shirley was her younger sister. During the war, Shirley and I had exchanged letters and that kind of thing. Nothing too serious. But I came home from the war, and we had a date. That was on Tuesday. We decided to get married, and we were married on Saturday. And one of the embarrassing things of my military career, John, if you want to know about it, I was 20 years old, and in those days, maybe still, when Shirley and I went down to get the marriage license down to the courthouse, the lady said, "You can't get married. You aren't 21. Men couldn't get married until they were 21. By this time, my parents had been able to get out of South America, and my mother had to go down. Here I am, a wounded war hero, and my mother has to go down and sign for me so that I can get married. Now, you talk about embarrassed."
Again, that would have been in 1945.
Five.
Yeah.
1945. Yeah. I was 20 years old. We could buy drinks, and we could smoke cigarettes, and we could do all kinds of things, but we couldn't get married.
Isn't that something? But that view from the attic...
Oh, yeah.
When you decided to enroll at the University of Oklahoma, that view from the attic determined your course of study.
Well, yeah, it did. I'd seen something that I never had known before. There was another incident of a Cathedral of Chartres, which is a marvelous cathedral, and we were the first Americans there. When I went back to the university, I knew I was not smart enough to be an engineer. So I looked around, and I saw these drawings of the architecture school, and I thought, I'll try. I think that's what did it, yeah.
Did you take to it like, as we say, ducks to water? You absorbed it easy? Or?
No, I didn't absorb it. I tell you one thing. In the old days, in public high schools, kids took a lot of art, and many of the fellows that were in architecture school with me could draw pretty well. And the hardest thing I had to do, not the hardest thing, but one of the hard things, was learn to draw. And so I taught myself to draw. That's what all this stuff is around here. I just like to make those little drawings.
I remember, now that you say that, in high school, a tool called a protractor comes to mind.
I've got a protractor somewhere around here. Yeah, I remember protractor.
I couldn't say that word if I hadn't been introduced to it probably
about,
in junior high school.
Hypotenuse? Could you say hypotenuse?
Yes, I can. So it's interesting. We were introduced to those things back then.
Yeah.
And most of us didn't go into architecture as a result of it. But at any rate, you had to become a real student, and you excelled at it. In Oklahoma.
John, you're putting words in my mouth. No, I didn't excel at it, no.
Really?
No, I was not a good student.
Well, what happened?
Well, to be candid with you, part of it was that my training in these little one-room schools and in the military school didn't prepare me for architecture in any sense of the word. I was not a good student. I'm not being modest about it. I just wasn't. I was, as I was going through school, married and had two children, no money, and, you know, the normal thing. I had other things on my mind, except I thought one of the nice things about World War II was what we call the GI Bill. I think that really worked. I think you had whatever time you had in the service plus 1 year or something like that. You know, it was a really good deal. But as I was about to graduate, I was about to run out of GI time, and I thought that was the end of it. There was a thing called an incomplete. That meant that in one semester or something, you hadn't completed your work for that semester. Here it was, I was coming down supposedly to graduate in May or June of 1950. And I knew that I was not going to make up that incomplete. So with tears in my eyes, really, I went to see my professor. And I said, "Mr. Kuhlman, I'm not going to be able to make up that incomplete." I literally was crying because I knew that was the end of my career. And he said, "Oh, Chuck, I got a card from the bursar or somebody, whoever it is." And so I just marked on that incomplete. I just put down a B and sent it back in. Well, that developed my love for the University of Oklahoma. That must be the most wonderful place there ever was. That really happened.
And so you graduated.
Well,
here you lamented what a poor student you were, and I was thinking, well, you surely must not have dropped out, but I mean,
no,
you did the work.
I was not a Phi Beta Kappa. No, I wasn't Phi Beta Kappa.
But you
sure
went on.
He was, but I wasn't.
But you went on to do Phi Beta Kappa work. Let's put it that way.
I like to think so.